we're the conventional podcast.
You think going to conventions is easy.
However,
it's anything but. Holy shit, it's been a minute.
Yep, we haven't talked to you for about 2 years now.
Yeah, I wonder why. It's almost like there's been a myriad of things happening around us.
COVID.
Yeah, that's one. Finally caught that.
I've avoided it somehow, but it's still trying its damnedest.
I'm convinced you're too skinny. I don't know why, but I'm almost positive it's because you're too damn skinny to get it.
I've been skinny for, like, forever, let's be real.
Yeah, it's true. I'm pretty sure a stiff breeze will throw you out. Now, there's that, there's the fact I've almost died, had to get my freaking ankle rebuilt. That was fun.
Yeah, and then I told you to wear the cast to the wedding, thank God. Otherwise, I'm worried you would not have a foot.
Yeah, that was fun. Also, one of our previous guests... They got married recently, and I decided that...
Recently being a year ago.
Look, it counts. It fucking counts. Shut the fuck up. Look, at this point, can we all agree that 2021 and 2022 was just a time skip and just move on?
They didn't exist and nothing happened, so my car didn't get vandalized.
Your car didn't get vandalized. 3 times. I didn't get hit by a car.
I didn't have dental issues.
Yeah.
We both didn't move involuntarily for a myriad of reasons.
My workshop for Jack's Builds did not get destroyed. Oh, yeah, I also started Jack's Builds. There was that in there, too. There's a lot that happened in these last 2 years that we could not do anything about. And
have kept us away from the microphone and from conventions. Though, to be fair, there weren't a lot of conventions going on. Most of them were online and not in person, and while we could technically have touched on issues here and there, we really would have been rehashing a lot of what was already said online.
Yeah, we could have been spinning wheels constantly on this stuff, but I'm pretty sure you didn't want to hear the same thing over and over and over again. With that being said, let's do what we usually do, over and over and over again.
Getting back to business and reviewing conventions and talking about convention topics.
Yes.
So now that things are finally but slowly returning to normal, I took the time to reach out to ASEN a couple of months before the convention began because May was a very busy month for me. I had a wedding, I had dental work I needed done, so I couldn't really wait around to figure out what was going to be going on. So I reached out to ASEN and I talked to their press department, and luckily they granted Jax and I press passes for the convention.
Let it be known, we have been trying our hardest for since the beginning of our podcasting career to try and become press for ASEN.
So this was a very big goal for us. So luckily I picked mine up Friday evening after work, and then Jax never picked his up because he was running panels the whole entire convention.
Yeah, I had zero time to do anything for this entire convention. ASEN was a trip this year, and we're going to get into that.
Yeah, because it was the first ASEN in 3 years, it was wildly good in areas and wildly terrible in others. So yeah. Due to that, we will be talking that into the review. We would like to thank Anime Central for the press passes that we received for the convention.
Seriously, thank you. This is a massive milestone for us. And like we said before, this has been something that we have considered kind of a capstone for us at the moment.
Especially when it comes to reviewing conventions, because the further we get up on the progressive tier list, for a better lack of a word, if you will, the more that means that what we're saying is getting heard by other conventions, that they're taking our opinion seriously and that they're taking our feedback with intent of slowly improving their convention.
So before we actually continue, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer to not only to our listeners, but to the conventions that we review as well.
It's going to be the same as it was before COVID, as it will be after COVID. It's going to be the same review format of 13 different factors, of which we will be scoring accordingly. We'll mention the maximum score of each because some are 0.5 and some are 1.0. And there will be non-biased. It's going to be our own personal opinion.
We do not have any affiliation with any convention. And because of that, we have the ability to look at conventions from not only a fan's perspective, an outside perspective. We have industry perspectives as well. We have staffing perspectives. We have the ability to see everything because, well, we've tried to do everything and anything on all sides.
Yeah, we've been around the block multiple times, to say the least, but due to these many different viewpoints, we are reviewing a convention on all these factors, because if an attendee is going to be using their time and money and resources to come to their convention, we want the conventions to be unique and offer the most experience for someone who's going to be putting their time and effort towards the convention.
Right. We don't want cookie cutter conventions either. I understand that everybody everywhere wants the same experience from a convention, but that's just not how it works. Every convention is going to be unique, and that is what makes conventions so fun, because you get to see the different perspectives of every single type of convention, how it's run, and how different types of people can come together and do essentially the same thing, but it comes out different.
Yeah, you have wildly different outcomes with like each convention, because you can have the same type of meetup at each convention. Like, for instance, there's probably a Genshin Impact meetup at like every convention this year, but each Genshin Impact meetup is going to be wildly different based on who shows up, what type of cosplays there are, who's running it, multiple different factors. That's just one tiny small thing. It's not like the whole block of panels or like the masquerade or the concerts, because some concerts are not as popular this year due to COVID and people not being able to travel as much. But like, due to all the wide factors, one small thing can make a person's con, while something big could flub and then ruin another person's con, but they have something small to make up for it.
Exactly. And as we already said, this is why we have the 13?
13.
Yes. The 13 setup for how we review things.
So before we jump into the review, let's review the 13 categories we use to judge the conventions and provide our honest feedback to them. Because it's been a while since we've talked to you about these categories.
Oh, yeah. So, one of the first things that always jumps in on our docket is panels.
Now, panels are a big part of every convention, and it helps make up the building blocks of each one, and it can be a wide variety of things.
Such as?
There are game shows, there are comedy panels, there's informational panels, there's Ask a Character panels, which always pop up and...
Need to stop, but let's be fair.
They do.
Yeah. For that reason, panels usually comes in with 1 point.
On our rubric, yep. So next would be the lines.
That somehow I'm always the one that gets to do.
Yep, you always get the fun part. I always find a loophole or way around it.
Yeah, no, not this time. No, this time you're on your own. Lines, I personally say, are one of the biggest things that need to be noticed at every con. It is the dread. It is the reason why every con has a line con. And sometimes you just have to acknowledge that maybe things need to go a little bit faster.
And in addition to lines, we also double check procedures. Are people following your rules? Are people checking badges? Are 18 plus panels getting IDs checked? Stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, basic stuff. So, for that reason, lines come in at 0.5.
Next on the list is game rooms. Now, game rooms can be very big or very small. There's a lot of variety in there. Some are console only. Some are arcade only. It can vary wildly. Sometimes you just have a Smash set up randomly in the corner of the room and that's it.
Yeah, bro just came in with a tube TV, an N64, and a pocket full of dreams. It's still a game room and he's still trying.
Yep. Or you have the DashCon special, which is just a PS3 and a TV.
What was on that PS3 anyway? Do you remember?
No, I have no idea.
I'm terrified to even remember that. But game rooms tend to be where a lot of the congregation of cosplayers hang out, especially if they have a DDR set up. You know the Konami kids are going to pop in on that.
Yep. So due to that, that's 1 point on our scale.
Now, Masquerade. Masquerade is a big one for a lot of people. It is where they get to show off their work. It's where they get to compete against each other. And personally, after years of going to cons, I say Masquerade is a separate entity of a con altogether.
Yeah, some cosplayers and some attendees, that's literally their whole Saturday.
Yeah, so for that reason, we have to, as a grand scheme of the whole convention, we give it 0.5 on the scale. Only because, again, it's a separate beast.
Yeah, it's its own separate thing, and a convention is so much more than just its masquerade, even if the masquerade does mean a lot to some people.
Exactly.
So next, after that, is all the music. So that'd be your dance, your raves, and your concerts. It's kind of a all-encompassing category. It's not just them all separate. It's all of them as a combined unit.
And there's a reason for that, because your entertainment, your music, all of that tends to be, again, its own separate beast.
Yeah, because some people will go just strictly for the dance on a Saturday pass if they have an act that they like or that they've been wanting to hear for forever. Or if they just have a band because they get the band out from Japan and it's just, hey, that's my favorite Japanese band, I can finally see them live.
And realistically, the funny thing about this category is it doubles into another category that we're going to talk about later.
Yeah. So next is tabletop. Now, most tabletop, once again, is a wide variety of things.
And usually separate from the game room for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, you usually need quiet in some games too, especially if you're playing something like Werewolf or you need to be able to hear another person. It's kind of hard with all the arcade noises going on in the background.
Right.
So usually you want them separate.
Yeah, usually. Now, sometimes your tabletop room can be big, sometimes it'd be small. Sometimes, again, it could just be somebody that's just relaxing in a corner and saying, hey, who wants a pickup game of EDH? I'm usually that guy.
He's not wrong. He's telling you the truth, that he is that guy.
Yeah.
He always has a deck of something on him.
Yeah, I will be king of games somehow. But because of that, tabletop always scales on the same level as the game room, no matter what. And for that, the tabletop gets a 1.
Next on the docket is customer service.
Oh, yeah. No, this one, it's low on our totem pole when it comes to the way we explain things. But it is high on the totem pole for how the convention goes. Customer service is the face.
Yeah, because your staff and people who run it are very important. And if you don't have them, the convention's not going to run smoothly. And panels won't go off without a hitch. Masquerade takes longer. Lines become a nightmare.
It just becomes its own special beast, one way or another. And people need to acknowledge that. Also, much love to the staff of conventions. 9 times out of 10, you are looking at volunteers. And they don't have to be there for one. That's a big one. The second thing is, they are putting in their time and effort too.
So, do treat staffers with respect. But that's why it's a big 1.0 on our scale.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of 1.0s, let's talk about photo shoots.
Now, photo shoots are important to mainly cosplayers because cosplayers work X amount of time to perfect their cosplay for the con. Some people might only have 1. Some people might have upwards to 9 if you're a crazy person.
Caleb?
No, I've never done 9 cosplays at a con. Dear Lord, no. Max, I've done is 6.
I can't talk. When I was in high school, I did about 8 or 9.
But generally, this goes into, hey, how are personal photo shoots going? What type of displays did they have up there for cosplayers to use? How were the ones on schedule arranged? Where were they? How were they ran efficiently? That type of thing.
Did they at least have a space set aside for photo shoots?
And did they also have a good variety? And it's not just, oh, hey, it's just Genshin Impact only, and then all the other series are in the corner twiddling their thumbs.
Exactly. And that's why photo shoots gets a 1 on our scale.
Yeah. So next on the list of sections is organization.
Yes. Like I said, customer service is the face. Organization is the bones.
Yeah. Organization is huge. And it also comes into the pre-planning of the convention. And it's when all the staff meetings that you do and all the prep work beforehand to get everything running smooth and going in the right direction comes into play.
Yeah, this is where things can make or break. Also, organization not only goes for that, but also how the convention carries itself. Be it on social media, be it on how the convention is presenting itself to its own fan base and to its own attendees.
Because if a convention is not very clear on what it's trying to do and its rules and its guidelines, that there's a sudden crazy change.
Don't spoil the topic at hand, because that is an elephant in the room that we're going to have to deal with eventually for this episode.
Eventually being 5 minutes later.
Yep.
So that's why, for organization, we're giving it 1.0 because it's so big and so detrimental to each convention that is run.
Oh, yes. Now, let's talk about one of my favorite things on this. The dealer's hall.
You mean spending money.
You know what? Shut up. You're not wrong, but shut up.
I mean, everyone likes to spend money at the dealer's hall on the nerdy thing they love. Let's be real.
Yeah, I usually go in for very specific merch.
Same.
Doesn't always happen.
Yeah, I usually like to try and find a shirt myself. And while we're talking about the dealer's hall, I say we should talk about Artist Alley because they're worth the same point value. And it's, instead of official merch, it's fan art made by people that they're selling at the convention.
And usually the only way I can get the merch that I want anyway, so shout out to all my artists.
Yeah, shout out to our friends who are artists and who vend, because getting a table can be difficult, and that is also a lengthy process.
Oh yeah, it's also an expensive process.
Also true. So due to that, that's why Dealer's Hall and both the Artist Alley get 1 point on our scale.
Yes. And now let's talk about you, the attendees.
Yes. One of the most important factors to the convention, because if there are no attendees, there's no con.
And with no attendees, who are we talking to?
No one, because we wouldn't have an audience, because there's no cons for them to go to.
Exactly. Attendees.
You're a major factor to each convention.
Exactly. Now, speaking of major factors, let's talk about the uniqueness of a convention.
So this is basically our extra credit category that we have, and we call it the unique factor, because each convention has its own niche or unique factor that we like to see that they have, because they each differ in some shape, way, or form.
Oh, yes. Does your convention have a unique event or a unique display or something that makes it your con? Then, yes, it goes into the niche factors.
Do you have a 5K that other conventions don't have?
Do you have a petting zoo? Do any conventions have a pet? You know what? That's a question for another day. Does any convention have a petting zoo? That'd be kind of dope.
That would be pretty neat. I didn't think about that.
Right?
But stuff like that, for example. So due to that, the most you can get on a niche factor is 0.5, because while it does make a convention unique, it's not the be-all, end-all to each convention.
Exactly. Now, with all that being said, you might have been catching along and realize that this means that a full total should be 10.5 on our scale.
Yes, that does include the extra credit.
I personally say there is no such thing as a perfect 10 convention. I still hold true to that fact.
I don't think we'll ever find a perfect 10 convention.
But, based on this, our scale pretty much gives an idea of how a convention does per year. We do not scale onto the convention based on the year prior. We let the convention of that year speak for itself.
Yeah, so this will only be for ASEN 2022. This will not include previous ASENs or future ASENs. It is only look at Anime Central 2022.
So,
first things first, we need to talk about things that happened before the convention.
You mean the clusterfuck?
I mean the elephant, but yeah, same thing.
Yeah, it might as well be. So, the reason why we want to speak about this is it would be grossly irresponsible for us not to speak on the issues leading up to the convention itself. However, we will not be judging the results based solely on these events, as they did have an impact on the convention as a whole. They will have their place.
Yeah, it had its effect on the convention and its attendees, and it was definitely shown throughout the convention about how it affected it. It did not get hidden at all. It was very obvious.
Right.
Why attendance seemed like half.
Why organization was all over the place.
Why we had empty spots in the Dealer's Hall and Artist Alley.
It shows itself in every single piece. Like, the fish rots from the head in this situation. And the fish got clubbed with a bat.
Yeah, it was actually used as a club and then was clubbed with a bat.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. But let's talk about these issues. The first one, let's get it out the way, the policy change.
Well, yeah, so let's rewind a bit before, because what we were talking about happened literally a week before the con. So originally, the COVID policies before May was, hey, you need to wear a mask in all areas of the convention and in all spaces.
And then things got a little wacky.
Yeah. 7 days before the con, There was a post made to Twitter and on their social media websites.
That post essentially changed the entire policies from the ground up, making it so that you did not need any of the precautions that were priorly stated.
And in their original policy, they said that the policies would not change, but then they changed a week before the con.
Which, if you can't tell the difference, that's clearly a breach of their own policy, meaning things got weird real fast for attendees, it got weird for staff, it got weird especially for vendors. Because, let's be fair, a lot of this stuff is expensive. We've gone over this in extents.
You can't get a refund on your hotel room without paying a very hefty fee, so you only maybe get about half of it back. You can't get your badge refunded. If you bought a table with your vendor or artist, you can't get that money back. That's gone.
Yeah, so a lot of people were SOL if they didn't comply to these rules. And the thing is, a lot of people did join up with ASIN this year to vend, joined up to actually be attendees, to specifically because of the original policies.
Yeah, due to the original policy, these people were coming. And because it got changed last second, Artist Alley, half the tables were blank on Friday. I heard that things got changed on Saturday, which we'll be talking on later about in our review, because ASIN did try to do something to remedy that. The Dealer's Hall was also having empty tables.
Plus, there was a noticeable drop in attendees this year.
Yeah. So if you told me what the attendance looked like this year, this was about the same attendance as maybe 2016 or 2017, if I was going to compare a year.
We're not comparing, but yeah.
Yeah.
It shows. That's the important takeaway from this.
And it really showed in like the nightlife, too, of the convention.
Most of the soap bubble, you could tell the numbers weren't where they usually are. Usually, just to get into either one of these events, the line is a mile out the door. Let's be fair, most of the convention was still outside of that line. But when you actually double check everything else, it got a little wonky. This is all just the tip of the iceberg. Just talking about the vendors, talking about the attendees dropping. All of that stuff is just the end result. This could have not become a big thing. It really could have just been, oh, well, a convention just dropped their policy and decided to flip it. It could have been swept under the rug. It could have been just let to drop and nobody would have noticed.
Or, hey, you only need your mask in these major areas and other smaller areas, it's okay. There could have been, you know, another variation or type on this. It didn't have to be just the straight.
Don't forget, they did change the policy again at the last second to actually accommodate to a degree.
Yeah.
But the thing that really cinched it was, I don't know who did it. A name has not been posted online. It is outside of my realm of knowledge. But someone posted a leaked staff email, if memory serves, into the official ASIN Discord.
And it's still there. You can look at it and look it up. You can read it yourself.
Yeah. But the abridged version, which this entire tale is the abridged version, stated that the convention was the one to make the final decision on this. Whereas in the original statement on Twitter, I believe, don't quote me on this, but did they not say that it was due to Donald E. Stevens and the convention center as a whole?
Yeah, per their initial report, it did state that the Donald E. Stevenson's convention center did request this change.
Which makes things a little bit more complicated, especially considering that one thing says another thing and another thing says another. I don't know which side to believe in this case.
Because venues do have rules that do need to be met, so I can see why they'd be trying to meet those rules.
And from what I have noticed with major staff changes, ASIN did have a lot of outside staff this year. I noticed that there was a lot higher of law enforcement. There were active EMTs working around the clock. And it could have been a disagreement with either one of those organizations. I do not know. What I do know is the end result of this leak. And that was people attacking the admins, people attacking staff on the official Discord, and the Discord staff being woefully unprepared for a situation such as this. This is not me blaming the Discord staff whatsoever. Do not get that twisted.
It sounds like people were shooting the messenger for what staff just had to deal with when they probably weren't notified of it to begin with. They were just given a situation that they were just trying to understand and inform people on to the best that they could with the information that they were provided.
They were trying their hardest on Discord, and at the end, there was very little that anyone could do.
Yeah, they were trying on all socials, Facebook, Twitter, anything else. They were trying to explain to the best of their ability with what they were provided.
Again, please remember that most of the staff is volunteer, and everyone was in the dark on this situation.
Most of the staff was surprised about this change, too, from what I could tell.
Yeah, let's be fair, everyone was. There was a lot of fallout for this. One of the big ones is a lot of people left. A lot of people left staff. A lot of people stopped being vendors at ASIN for this year, which...
They sold their artist alley spot, or they didn't show up at all, and they were like, hey, I'm not coming.
And a lot of people lost a lot of money in doing so. But a lot of hotels made a lot of money in doing so. That being said, again, it would be irresponsible for us not to at least attempt to address this elephant. Because, again, it does affect the convention. It affects it from top to bottom.
Yeah, it affects it in most of the categories that we listed. Not all of them, but in a good chunk of them, it does affect them.
From there, I say we can actually start jumping into the reviews.
Yeah. We're going to go down the exact same line that we did earlier with when we listed the categories to you. So we're going to start with panels and end with the niche factor to the unique factor. So to begin, we're going to start with panels.
Ooh, panels were fun this year.
I thought panels were great this year. I went to a Magical Girl panel and I learned a lot on the history of Magical Girls and I thought it was great.
I ran a panel and I have zero bias on saying that this year's panels were really good.
You ran the same panel three times.
I ran the same damn panel three times in a row. I ran a whole tournament arc for the entire convention.
He ran a Jeopardy tournament arc.
The amount of people that came out, love all of you. For the actual way panels were run, there were a glorious variety.
Yeah, there was no issue with variety. There was a lot of stuff I was interested to go to, and all the panels that I saw were very well presented, very well researched, and thoroughly delved into their topics very well.
There were a few things that I did notice. There were some situations where panel rooms were not being well watched. This comes back in the lines as well. But because of that, people were just going into panel rooms all willy-nilly. Rooms were getting filled before the panelists were actually going into the rooms themselves.
And some lines were really long, like ridiculously long. They eventually did get well managed, but there were some that were so crazy that they looped around certain parts of the hotel. Another thing that comes to panels is how they're presented in guidebooks. The panel schedule was not in the guidebook this year. It was only online, which can be detrimental to some people because not everyone has online access on their phone. I know most people do. I understand that. But not everyone has access to a mobile phone or mobile device to get that.
Or data, for that matter.
So, normally it's printed in the guidebook, but that wasn't done this year. The only way you could see what was going on was online on your phone through the guidebook app. And while it did have nice reminders for you to follow up on things that you were interested in, and you can make a list and everything, for people who don't have that option, it makes it really hard for them to understand what's going on and to access that content that's there.
For that, I will say that it does take away a few points from panels.
We each have our own score that we're going to give for this part. I gave it a 0.8 because I really thought everything was really done well for the most part.
I personally say it's a 0.6. It's a little bit over average, but I'm not going to give it full marks, especially with how the organization of said panels were. If your normal attendees, the ones that pick up just a pamphlet that shows everything that's supposed to be, doesn't see panels, they're not going to know where the panels are. They're not going to even pay attention and try and go to the panels, which kind of defeats the purpose of going to panels. Yes, you left a QR code and a link in there, but what if my phone's dead? Then I'm SOL. So for that, I gave it a 0.6. So let's go to the other thing. The thing that I hate the most. Lines.
Yep, your forte.
Not my fuck you. Just fuck you sideways with a rusty turnpike. I hate lines. I don't know anyone that enjoys lines. yes, a line will be a very interesting experience, especially if you're a social butterfly. But if you're not, lines can be a punishment. Lines are a punishment.
They can be. It also helps if they are well managed and well labeled and having people instructing you on what to do if the line does get unbearably long.
Yeah, no. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But this time, guess who got the joy of checking out lines?
You.
Yeah, I got the joy of just casually chilling in a line and just watching and keeping an eye on it just to see how it went. From what I noticed, most of the lines were well kept.
Yeah, mainly for Soap Bubble. Soap Bubble and the dances were basically well kept and well managed. I saw no issues with those lines. Because those were the only big lines that I was seeing outside of that. Certain panels did have long lines, but it was only a certain select few. It was not a ton of panels that had those type of long, ridiculous lines.
I would say at least going in, trying to come in off the street and getting your badge, I did have the joy of just going through the line just to see how fast it went. I checked Friday, I checked Saturday, I checked Sunday. The line speed stayed about the same. It never really got super bad.
Yeah, and the line to get into the dealer's hall and Artist Alley also wasn't bad. It was about average. And then after the initial opening, it was pretty standard traffic going in and out.
I don't think I've met anyone that stayed in a line more than maybe 20 or 30 minutes. If you lined up earlier, then obviously you're going to be biding that time. But most of the time, from what I've noticed, every single time, the average was about 30 minutes, 15 minutes. Heck, some days, especially if you pre-regged, it was maybe 5 minutes. So kudos, no matter what, to ASIN's lines. Because I think we both agreed on this one.
Yeah, we did. We both gave it a 0.4.
Yep, 0.4 out of 0.5. Almost perfect. Now, into the game rooms.
So game rooms kind of had a drastic change this year.
Yeah, this is something that we spoke on earlier, something that we personally believe, and that is that game rooms and tabletop rooms should never be in the same room.
And they were in the same room this year.
They were.
They usually have like these giant pods that are brought in that you can game in. Those are not there this year.
They usually have designated areas for, you know, tabletop, for video gaming, which allows for different types of tournaments to go in conjunction with each other.
Yes. They did not have a large PC setup. They did have some PCs, but they're not a lot set up. They used to have more focus on indie games previously. There was no indie support at all this year.
This year was very, very downsized for a convention of Anime Central's projected size.
While it was downside, they did have a good variety of arcade games and console games.
I will give them that.
So while the game room did have a nice variety, there was too much conflict with the game room being in the same room, which caused overcrowding due to departments being used in one location.
Yeah, so it kind of makes things a little bit more complicated.
So due to that, we gave it a 0.4 out of 1.
Yeah, you're going to see a pattern of agreeing in this one. That being said, since we just covered the game room, let's hit up the masquerade.
So the masquerade this year was average from what I've seen online and what I've heard. We both saw it online, and from what it looked like a standard masquerade. I didn't see anything that made it stand out, but I don't see anything that really hurt it either. So due to that, we gave it the average of 0.3.
Now, on to dance, / the rave, / the music entertainment.
/ the concerts.
/ everything that had anything to do with an instrument at this point.
True. So I thought the music at ASIN this year was amazing. I loved all of it. The Demon Dice Karen concert, amazing. Really, really, really good.
I am still butthurt and a half that I missed not only Demon Dice, but I missed Teddy Lloyd. Do you know how angry I was?
I believe you, because I saw Teddy Lloyd. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I've been dying to see Teddy Lloyd live.
Yeah, no, you lucky son of a bitch. I was sitting there trying to rest up my poor feetsies after a day's worth of hell, and you got to see that, and I finally hobbled out after the set. I was so upset.
Music was great. Mainly Demon Dice. Her and her fans seemed to get the most joy from just seeing each other. Because I had friends who got to go to her private like meet and greet because they had the VIP passes.
I couldn't get the VIP pass. Fuck you.
I didn't either. My friends did. I'm not my friends.
I'm just crying in a corner.
I was glad she got to come out from Japan and touring, and hopefully she might be back so I can catch her if she comes back on out. And then the dance Saturday night was amazing. I went there from start, and then I left after Teddy Lloyd's set. And from start to Teddy Lloyd was amazing. And I heard good things about the DJs afterwards, too. I did not go to the Friday night dance, so I can't comment on them. But I did go to the Distant Worlds Final Fantasy concert on Sunday, which is why I missed Jax's panel that day. And that was also really amazing.
Yeah, you jackass.
I've seen that online when you've done online, like,
yeah, that's
five fair. Times, to be
that's
fair.
That's fair. I've also seen Distant World Live before, too. But I really did want to see it. I was so sad that my panel actually coincided with so much sadness. I did, however, get a chance to go to the Saturday night rave, and I did get the chance to see the Friday night. The Friday night one was a fucking banger, hands down. I wish I actually had a chance to actually write down some of the names that were performing that night, but I will say this. Kind of glad I didn't have a pencil, because I probably would have had it smashed in my hand from the moshing.
Probably.
Yeah.
A lot of good fun, a lot of good dancing, but I spent a good chunk of my time at the musical events. ASEN got a really stellar lineup musically. They usually do get pretty stellar musical lineups based on past.
And that, I would say, is part of their niche factor as well.
Yeah, that's one of their big draws. And due to that, I gave them a 0.5. I loved the music this year.
Now, I will say this. For the Saturday set, I enjoyed it myself. I liked it, but it didn't have like the flair that I was looking for. It wasn't my vibe. I did enjoy dancing to it. There were a few very interesting moments in the crowd that I still have to sit back and go, huh, that just happened.
Yeah, that happened a few times, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, so I actually have to give it a 0.4. It wasn't perfect, but it was up there. Now, we already spoke about Tabletop, so we're not going to bend your ear on that. Essentially, since Tabletop and Game Room were essentially the same damn thing.
We gave it a 0.4 is what he's trying to say, yeah. Without talking your ear off.
Yeah, no point of actually coming back to that. Now, customer service.
Customer service, when I talk to staff, everyone is very friendly. And if they did not know the answer, they're willing to find someone who would get me the answer, which is always key when it comes to customer service.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is something that I will say. The staff, they wanted to be there. They were hell-bent on making sure that this convention went well.
And they're trying their best to help the con out and the attendees out to the best of their ability whenever I talk to a staff member.
Any staff member I spoke to, they were Johnny on the spot with everything that they needed to do. They were trying their hardest. If they didn't have the information, like you said, they would go and find someone that could get the information.
And if they couldn't find someone locally, they'd radio or use the walkie and be like, hey, I have this question. Who can answer it for me?
They were soldiers throughout this entire thing. And I respect every single one of them, hands down.
Especially with all the changes that were going on, because they did get some of the brunt from the policy change that happened a week before the con happened.
Exactly. So, out of absolute respect, I have to give customer service a 0.8.
I did too. I agreed with him. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good for the most part, all things considered. Right. Now, photo shoots, I'm trying to think of how I want to tackle this. There's the con stuff that happened, and then there's the personal stuff I did. And those are two separate different things. Because, like I mentioned earlier, my May was very busy. And because my May was very busy, I planned a lot of things in advance. That includes personal photo shoots. And because I didn't go to ASEN's photo shoots, and I did personal photo shoots instead, doesn't mean that they weren't handled well or done well. So I want to talk about photo shoots in the dealer's hall. Let's start with that. They had times and lists for series inside the dealer's hall across from the game room and tabletop area. And basically it was like a white or blue backdrop. And then basically the photo shoot was done there inside. They used to have photos outside, and some of them were outside, but it was partially due to the rain.
It was partially due to that, but also, let's be fair, that was a hazard.
That's also true, because if you block the loading docks, like, people can't do their job. So I get right. that.
It was also definitely a fire hazard.
Not the specific area I'm talking about, but I know what you're talking about. And yes, the photo shoots that were done there were technically
a massive hazard. Fire hazard, yeah.
They also did bring back the photo sets. And they did not bring back all the photo sets back. They brought some of them back. They brought back some of the ones I didn't like. Most of the ones I liked didn't get brought back, unfortunately. But what they did do is there is a cosplay photography group that got like a panel in the dealer's hall near the photo shoot area. And they were doing like free shots of your costume basically in like a backdrop area. And then you get like one or two free photos and they got posted online. So for my personal photo shoots, I had two on Saturday because I got there Friday night. And then I had one on Sunday. I had one at roughly noon from Yu Ichigo, and I got my photos back. And then I did another photo shoot at 4 p.m. for Kaching from Genshin Impact. They all came out really good. I was really happy with them. The free photo shoot I did on Sunday, I haven't gotten photos back from yet. But point I'm trying to make is that even if you do the photo shoot meetup, sometimes you can't get the photos you want. So sometimes you do something a bit more personal because then you're getting something back more that you're looking for, and there are photographers here who are willing to do that and provide that service to you. While they might be paid, they are not an arm and a leg. You can get them at a decent price. Like one of them, for instance, was $45, which $45 for four or five photos is not bad for the time and the equipment used.
For my experience with the photo shoots, as stated, some of my favorite photo shoot areas were not brought back this year, which it's okay. I'm not going to complain about spilt milk. We had the backdrop areas. We had places that photo shoots can happen. I appreciate that greatly. Did we have separate photo shoot areas that could happen?
No.
No, we did not. I personally say having the photo shoots that close to the dealer's hall makes things a little bit more complicated.
It does. That also creates a lot of heavy foot traffic, which causes issues.
Which causes some major issues, especially when you're trying to do a group photo shoot and somebody doesn't even realize it happens. It's okay.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I still say that the photo shoot area should have been moved to a different location. But again, that's my opinion. And because of that, I do rate them very low.
I'm only 0.4, you're 0.3. There's not much of a difference.
Not much of a difference.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah. But if we're going to talk about low points, let's... Oh boy. All right, let's hit up organization.
Organization was all over the place this year, and you could just tell by how the convention was ran where the organization was at.
There were problems. Primarily, one of the big ones that we did address earlier that carried on and followed the convention on the way here. You noticed that the dealer's hall was empty. And we haven't even gotten to the dealer's hall. We haven't even gotten to the artist alley.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to all this other stuff. I've hinted at the fact that the staff wanted to be there. With that all being said, organization was at an all-time low because
you had half the staff available.
Right. You had half of the staff available. You tried to go around and work around this, but because there weren't as many hands in the pot as needed to be, a lot of things fell through the cracks.
And people got stretched too thin, more than likely.
Your lines were affected because people weren't able to corral as all the people as much as you needed them to do. Your dealer's hall was having issues because of that. Your artist alley had issues because of the organization.
Your badge checkers, you don't have as many of them to double check badges and IDs. You don't have everyone there to double check game checkouts and game rentals in the game room and tabletop area because you have someone checking badges because you give your badge to get the game and then you take it back. That's how it works.
Right. Also, I will point out the fact that there was a lot of people dropping like flies at this year. And a lot of people were riding on the WeWoo ambulance.
That happens every ASIN, but I see what you mean.
No, I mean, there was an ambulance leaving the Hyatt, day negative one. I have never seen that in my life.
First time for everything.
Right? Now, again, I won't put this all on the organization, and I really actually do hope they're okay. But a lot of this does fall on the convention itself.
Yes, staffing and how it's organized and how they are portrayed and how smooth an event goes is all down to the convention, how they organize it and prepare and plan things. And due to this and it being very rough for them this year and it showing in a lot of the departments with departments being combined and lack of staff, certain areas missing, which we'll get into in the next couple sections here, it shows, and due to that, this is why it is our lowest out of all of our categories, not including the niche or unique factor, obviously, because that's like a bonus. So due to that, we both gave it a 0.2.
Yeah. Jumping from there, let's actually talk about the Dealers Hall / Artist Alley. They are separate this time.
Yes, they are separate. But jumping off of organization into the Dealers Hall, one way you can tell the Dealers Hall was misorganized was that there was little to no industry support this year. It was very apparent compared to previous years. Studios like Funimation and Crunchyroll, who would be there to support the convention or have a booth there, they were simply just not there.
There was industry support. High Dive was there. That was a big one. I believe Funimation was there.
I thought it was Viz, but maybe I'm misremembering.
Viz. There was one of them animation companies there. I don't know why. I can't remember which.
I don't know if they did the voice acting booth like they normally do in the hallway, because that's normally sponsored by one of the...
That would be Bang Zoom. Yeah, Bang Zoom. I did not see Bang Zoom Entertainment there, but a lot of support was pulled. There was a lot of traffic in the rest of the dealer's hall, however. Your usual fantasy sort collectors.
There was t-shirt, there was the chalk drawer, there was a lot of art. There was a lot of the standard fare in the dealer's hall once again, but there were still last minute cancellations on some vendors in the dealer's hall due to the policy change.
Right. And therefore, there were a couple of lonely islands that popped up here and there in the dealer's hall.
And they mainly just became hangout spaces, which kind of made foot traffic a little bit more harder because people were just hanging out in an open area where they probably shouldn't be hanging out.
Yeah. Though I will say, Wild Bill was there.
That's true.
Yep.
You like your root beer.
I fucking love my root beer. And the fact that there was a limited edition ASIN mug, which I do have, and I did not bring to this recording because I like my mug. But yeah, no. Dealer's Hall could have been better.
Yeah. So we thought was under average, so we give it a 0.4. So next on the docket is the Artist Alley. The same thing that happened in the Dealer's Hall happened in the Artist Alley, is that artists did not show up for their tables. However, this happened way more frequently in the Artist Alley than it did in the Dealer's Hall. Now, one thing ASIN did to try to remedy this is if there were dealers who did show up to ASIN, but they didn't get approved, and they were somehow able to go get their stuff and come back to sell on Saturday and Sunday, they would give them the table to try and fill the empty spots in the dealer's hall, which was a good move on their part to try to at least salvage the situation.
Which, I will say, this is the first time I've ever seen ASIN do this. I'm not sure what that says, but it was good on them to at least still support their artists.
Yeah. So, due to that, I thought that that edged the Artist Alley up slightly over the dealer's hall, because there was at least an attempt, an admission from ASIN, like, hey, there's a problem here, we're going to do something to try and fix the problem, and they made an attempt to try and fix the issue at hand.
True that. However, I still rated it fairly low in comparison, only by, what, 0.2 points?
Yeah, I'm 0.5 and Jax is 0.3.
Yeah. I rated it a little bit lower simply because the event still happened, it still showed. While I appreciate the effort in bringing it back, I still have to see everything for what it is. Now, time to talk about y'all.
Yes, the attendees. Now, like we said earlier, the attendance this year seemed more equivalent to like a 2016 or a 2017 compared to what it was in 2019. I mean, yes, there's going to be a drop due to COVID. Yes, there's going to be a drop due to the policy change. I understand those two things. However, there was so much breathing room compared to previous years where, like, it was hard for me to just fit in anywhere. It was very noticeable that attendance was down this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because ASEN used to be the third biggest anime convention in the country, and I don't think it's top three anymore.
Yeah, well, at least for this year. And that's kind of a shame. That being said, when it came to when I talked and interviewed all the attendees, when I had a chance to actually sit down and just breathe with people, a lot of people were actually very happy about this year.
Oh, yeah. People were glad to have the convention come back. They were glad to see all their friends. Everyone was having a good time for the most part. A lot of people told me it was a pretty average year for them.
Which is nice. Like, there was a lot of highs, there were a lot of lows. A lot of people that were still looking and still sore about everything that we've stated before. But they love the con, hands down. This might have been a lot of people's favorite year. And for that, I actually rated it high. Like, even with all the shortcomings, even with all the negativity that led up to this point, the cosplayers still loved it.
I'm worried some of that might be a nostalgia factor, though, which is why I still said it was a 0.3.
And I agree with you on that one. There could be some rose-colored glasses that were being worn by a lot of cosplayers, but I have to give it a 0.4 simply because, no matter what, yeah, a lot of people still love the con, no matter how I looked at it, no matter or how much everything was going on.
Yeah, people are still going to show up regardless of what happened, so they do have that diehard following, so I do see what you mean there.
Yeah. Now, we've covered all the primaries, we've covered all the majors, but now it's time to give ASEN its extra credit.
Yeah, its unique factor, its niche factor, whichever the two you'd like to use, but essentially the same thing.
Yeah. So, let's talk about ASEN's niche factor.
Now, unfortunately for ASEN this year, there's not much unique about it. And if I can compare it to other cons I've been to this year, and other cons I've been to this year have had stuff that's more unique or is a thing that ASEN doesn't have but they do have.
Right.
And ASEN seems like the most standard and cookie cutter of all the conventions I've been to this far. The only thing that really makes them stand out compared to other conventions is their musical guest attraction. That's like their biggest and most unique thing, which we did say in the music dance section.
Yes. ASEN is alive with the Sound of Music. Now, I will give them one more thing, the chalk guy.
That is
a major niche factor in my book.
Yeah, he's the only person who does the chalk artwork, that's true.
Yep, and it's the only con that actually has him every year.
He's consistent, yep.
Yep. Now, I would say the food trucks and lockers, but that's becoming more commonplace.
Yeah.
So, that actually is kind of no longer a niche factor,
yeah, I hate to say. Yeah, because a lot of smaller conventions are adopting those things into their schedules.
Exactly. The chocolate vendor and the dealer's hall, that was kind of unique.
That is very unique. I have not seen that done before.
Exactly.
I've seen sweets done before, but not chocolate. Yeah,
usually we don't have a lot of confectionery dealers at conventions, and I'm kind of glad it's starting to become a thing. So I would say 0.1.
Yeah, 0.1, they could use more unique stuff going on for them, because there are a lot of other cons local in the area that do have more unique things that they're trying to do and push. Excuse me. I think ASEN should try and do some more unique programming going further to help make them stand out from their competition.
Oh, I definitely agree. Now, we've tallied all the numbers. Caleb, what do you believe
my total to be?
Yes.
So my total is 5.5.
All right.
A very average convention.
I'm not that far off from you. I say 5.3. ASEN this year was,
on an average between the two of us, a 5.4.
Yeah. So it was a relatively average convention. It was middle of the road. Almost perfectly middle of the road.
Yeah. And for a convention coming back out of the pandemic, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it's the first year back, you have to knock some rust off of the gears. And again, we're not dissing the con. We're literally just giving our honest critique on everything.
Yeah, we're giving honest feedback and we're reviewing it because it's a product that's being placed out there and because people are spending a lot of time and money and effort on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's obviously something that's going to show.
Right.
Why people and why we have our concerns.
So, since we've gone through all of that, let's give some final thoughts on this topic and
how can be improved.
Yeah.
One, ASIN should be more transparent with the rule and policy changes. Being upfront and not changing things at the last second is going to help their attendance because that obviously did have a big effect on their attendance. Number two, they are trying to do a lot of things in a small area. As we said, the game room, the photo shoots, and the dealers, I mean, the game room, the photo shoot, and the tabletop area are all in the same place. And they should either spread it out or get more space in the same area so that they that way there's less foot traffic and each area can thrive more.
One of the other things that I would definitely love to see more of is diversity.
Yeah, they need more unique programming that would help them out.
A lot more unique programming.
I would also like to see more industry support again. I think that that did help them out and it did help them bring out more other voice actors and guests, and I think that would also help them draw in more talent for them to use and improve.
Oh, definitely. Just a lot of all-around upgrades would be lovely.
And if we could get some new cosplay sets or some more diverse of the old cosplay sets that they had, I think that would also be really good because people I know do like those a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking love them myself, so... Can't even deny that fact.
But with that, that is our review for ASIN 2022. What did you guys think? You can let us know at our email, theconventionalpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can also hit us up on Twitter at Conventional Crew without the E.
Or on Instagram at the Con Crew.
Yes, we are everywhere and anywhere at all times.
And then we're also the Conventional Podcast on YouTube.
Yes. Why we have a YouTube, I'm still lost on. But
we'll post a video eventually, I swear.
One of these days. Also, if you still want to support us, you can hit us up on our Ko-fi.
And Patreon.
Not on Patreon.
What happened to the Patreon?
The Patreon's down.
Oh, no.
The Patreon's been down.
Why did you not say something until now?
These last 2 years have been interesting. But with that being said, if you like us, if you love us, always give us a chance to give us a listen.
Yep, please give your feedback, and we look forward to seeing you at a convention. If you want to stop by, come and say hi.
And if you have an opinion on what we've said, please hit us up in our email as we've stated before. But, as always, that is our time.
Yep.
So, with that being said, this has been Jax.
This has been Cloud.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.